You are now checked in to Stand Up New York Labs. Oh, yeah.
Welcome to Guys We Fucked. Guys We Fucked.
Guys We Fucked.
I'm Christina.
I'm Corinne.
We're
sorry about last night. Coming to you from Stand Up New York Labs. Guys We Guys Fucked. We Fucked. The anti-slut-shaming podcast. I never stop.
Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of Guys We Fucked, the anti-slut shaming podcast.
Hey, what's up? I'm Corinne.
I'm Christina.
And we're here.
We're here.
We're live.
We're steer clear of, I don't know.
We've
How
done
you doing,
it.
Corinne?
I'm doing fantastic.
Me too.
Great.
I had the...
If you say best sex, I'm going to hit you.
No.
I'm going to throw something at you.
Well, yeah, I mean...
That's how... I feel like the past 3 weeks, you're like... You're not going to believe what happened, but
no,
I had
This is actually one for the
sex.
Books. This is one for the books. I had the best orgasm I have ever had.
A little different.
Probably like in my life.
I had a great idea while masturbating the other day.
Okay.
I had this amazing, brilliant idea for an upcoming guest on the show.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, because you were thinking of him while you're masturbating?
No, it's not a guy.
Oh.
Yeah.
Is it a girl?
Yeah.
Do I know her?
No.
Okay.
Why? If you read the email I sent you, you do.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Best orgasm.
Of your life?
Yeah.
I don't know if I can keep track of them. There's been so many.
I don't keep track of them. They just happen, right?
Well, I don't know if I can like pinpoint.
Right.
Like I've had so many phenomenal ones.
I've never had one that's that memorable.
What was it? Was it from oral or from penis?
He was penis, but also a Hitachi wand.
Oh, okay.
Those are those vibrators that plug into the
wall. Don't you feel a little bit like that's like a baseball player taking?
No,
because
when you're having sex with a guy, your clit has to get stimulated.
No,
and it's harder.
I
don't know. So anyway, so he was on top and then he was starting and stopping and I had the wand on my clitoris. And
right, we're really doing a good job of openly about sex.
All of a sudden, I was like, wait, hold on. Just wait one second. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. And I saw God.
It's so funny because not that I think of you having an orgasm often, but when you talk about it, I just feel like it would be very animated, very charismatic.
No.
Very charismatic orgasm.
It's just like in the porns. I'm just like a porn girl.
Mine's like if you were writing a hacky movie about a girl with Tourette's.
Where you're like, chick, fuck, whore,
motherfucker,
cut, whore, suck, that.
That's what mine's like.
Wow, really? Do you wake your roommate up a lot?
A lot of obscenities. No, but speaking of
a lot of obscenities.
Oh, God, this is so weird. I don't want to talk about this in depth.
Well, you're going
to
do it.
I think her and her friends listen to the podcast, whatever. We're not saying your name. But yeah, no, I mean, like, that's just such a thing, listening, like, you are going to, it's inevitable.
You're gonna hear
when you live with someone who is having sex, you're going to hear them have sex.
And I don't like that.
No, and we recently moved to a new apartment, and one of my major reasons for moving was because in the last apartment, our rooms were right by each other. So that there was my favorite story about the old apartment was that I had, right when I moved in, I stopped by to, like, because I, like, forgot my birth control pills, so I had to go up to Harlem and get them when I was still living in Hell's Kitchen. But I had like moved most of my stuff to Harlem, and I came in unexpectedly because it was after the first, like, I lived there officially, so I felt like I could just come and go as I please without telling her. And obviously she had no idea, and I like didn't know that she had like fuck fests all day. And so I walk in and I knew she had a boyfriend. I had never met him yet, but my introduction to her boyfriend was hearing him orgasm before I met him.
What was it? What was it sound like?
Just kidding. And like that
for the queen.
That's the weirdest thing to hear someone orgasm before you meet them. Has that ever happened to you?
No.
It's
one time,
fucking weird.
The only time I ever heard a roommate of mine having sex was when I lived with girls in my current apartment, but they don't live with me now. And she brought home a British guy, and it was like in the middle of the day on a Saturday or something. And me and the other roommate were like, oh shit, they're doing it. And then we were kind of listening in, but I don't like overhearing people have sex that I live with. I don't know why. I just don't.
No, it's not good.
I just don't.
It's bad.
It freaks me out.
It freaks me out too. I don't like it.
In an effort to make myself feel better, we were just yelling British things because this guy was British. I'm like, give him some tea. And like just the dumbest bullshit.
I fucking came out and strangled you.
I can't believe she didn't.
Well, yeah, no. So now in the new apartment, completely, the bedrooms could not be further apart.
Perfect.
But I down the hall, I can still hear like slapping and shit. And it was great, and I just, yeah, and this was great because she went, whatever, there was a hiatus for a while, and I was bringing people home, and it right. was, like, because I don't, like, a lot, and I, the who, God bless those people for coming to that apartment, and now, and then it's, like, I'm sitting alone listening to Katy Perry in my bra, eating gummy bears, trying to mind my own business.
Hearing an ass getting
and
slapped.
I'm, like, hearing ass slapping.
Balls taint.
I feel happy for her. Then I feel like sad that I'm not getting laid. Then I feel like uncomfortable.
Yeah, it's such a mix of emotions, and none of them are really
yeah,
good.
Yeah, I had to go get the dog. Like, I don't know. There was a lot. I don't know. Because the dog's like my baby. So I'm like, I need to protect him. He doesn't need to hear that.
Right.
I don't know. So many things are going on.
Oh,
I don't know.
I'm sorry that you had that.
No,
experience.
It's fine. It's great. Whatever.
I feel bad. My roommate currently, because I live with my boyfriend and we have a roommate, she'll always text us. Before she's coming home, she leaves for the weekend a lot. Yeah. Whenever she's coming home, she'll give us a heads up, which is so much appreciated because the last thing we would ever want is for her to walk in to.
Dude, I'd be having sex all over that apartment, on the table, on the couch. And that's what I usually do. So if anyone lives with me, clean
just,
the table.
Just know to wipe stuff before
you sit
wipe
on stuff
it.
Down. It's like Studio 54, come in with a hose. but yeah, no, I'm in a great mood.
Yeah, you are.
Yeah, you know, just.
It went good. Oh, guys, we're going to be in L.A.
Hey, P.S. We're going to be in L.A. We're going to be in L.A. from Saturday, August 16th through Wednesday, the 20th. But the Wednesday, the 20th, we're leaving at night. So that's not going to be going on. And there's some shows and shit happening. So we'll keep you abreast of that situation.
Yeah, just follow us on social media. We're at SRY About Less NYT is our Twitter. And then Sorry About Last Night is our Instagram. And then we have a Facebook. So just follow
or email us at sorryaboutlastnightshow@gmail.com if you want to book us on your awesome show that you
can we do your show?
Can you please do your show? We'll do whatever. Or if you want to pay us like big money and we'll just like come hang out with you.
Yeah.
I'm open to that. Just like please don't kill us because we have like some stuff that we're
working on. We have important stuff. So we
can't
die.
There's some stuff that we're working on.
Really,
so
not
you
the
can
time
hold
to die.
Off on that.
Just wait until I get the opportunity.
Oh,
okay?
And I have one more. I did some homework last night. I texted you about this. Uh-huh. I watched a documentary called The Truth About Webcam Girls.
Fascinating.
Yeah, it was great. I mean, the thing is, I don't know. Like, I feel I don't
documentary
know.
Didn't really clear anything
well,
up.
Well, there was like one chick who was really into it, and the other one not so into it, and then and the other third one like didn't take her clothes off and wasn't making as much money, and I was like, well, that they go together. You
don't
know?
Wonder why. But it's weird because when you're a girl, you can get money. You could sell your underwear to a guy. I use underwear.
Oh, yeah.
For a lot of money. And in my head, I'm like, well, shit, that's an easy buck.
Yeah.
But, and then there's the moral part of me that's like, wait, why does he want my underwear? Obviously, I know, but is that weird? Can I live with myself? Can I go home and go, this weird guy's sniffing my underwear?
I don't know.
That's not a bad thing. Yeah. He wants to smell a girl's vagina while he jacks off.
I like smelling boyfriend's old t-shirts. I mean, I just don't smell boys' underwear because they're dirty.
Yeah. Yeah.
If I had a girlfriend, I would probably want to smell her underwear. I don't know.
I do. I mean, I would smell Steven's. I've never really.
I wouldn't smell a boy's underwear.
If I wanted
underwear,
to smell his underwear, I'd
be scared.
Pull his pants down and sniff his balls.
Yeah, that
I guess. But I get, you know, genital smell.
I've
specific.
Never met a ball sack that like smelled amazing. Like I've met ones that didn't gross me out.
Hello, Mr. Ball Sack.
Yeah, but I've never been like, the scent of that ball sack really gets me going.
That's the weirdest thing ever.
I'm like actually thinking of like a specific ball sack right
now.
That is the cleanest one that I've dealt with.
Okay.
And even that one, like it's not appealing
the
to me.
The smell of a ball sack reminds me of having sex. Because usually my face is down there at least some point.
Yeah, the scent part of sex is not my favorite.
You know what? Anthropology
aspect.
Really needs to make a ball sack and a candle. Okay? And you could take this idea and run with it, anthropology.
Oh,
but maybe we'll get
God.
A lot more women in the mood or a lot more women just angry and more pissed. I don't know.
Oh,
straight
man.
Women only, obviously.
You could capture the smell of, quote, sex. Because, like, I know in college when my roommate used to have sex, like, I could, when I walked back in, I could tell that she just had sex. You can smell it.
Yeah, you can. You can. Sex is in the air tonight, people. Let's read some emails.
Oh, man.
This email is from a lovely lady named Caitlin. Hey, ladies, longtime listener, and I love the show. Sometimes, though, I finish an episode wishing I felt more sexual. Sure, I'm a sexual person and I enjoy sex, but it just isn't super important to me. And honestly, sometimes I wish it was. I listen to the podcast and some of the emails y'all get, and I feel like I'm missing out on some huge thing, the thing that is supposed to drive human nature or be such a natural and strong feeling in everyone. Do you have any ideas of how I can make sex more important in my life, both in relationships and when single? Thank you. I feel like there are people have varying levels of sexuality and libido. So I feel like if you've lived your life so far and you just sex isn't on the priority totem pole, I don't think there's anything wrong with that.
Yeah, some people are just less sexual than others. I certainly wouldn't base you feeling normal, quote unquote.
Don't compare yourself to us. Yeah, we're
that's a horrible idea in anything that we do.
Well, some girls are like us, some girls aren't, but Corinne and I are pretty similar with our sexual, like with our libidos.
And also, you have to keep in mind, we're comics, we're performers, we're like an excessive type of person. We're very eccentric. Yeah. Like, there's a lot going on. So to base, don't ever.
If you don't want something as much as you think you should want it, just maybe you just don't want it.
There's
that bad.
No right
but
or wrong.
Right or wrong. Yeah, that's
I
not
know,
bad.
I know sometimes like therapists try to tell you like if you're not like really sexually attracted to your partner, I mean that there could be something wrong. But if like you're always like that with everybody, you might just not be a super sexual person, and that's okay. But you have to find someone who's also not super sexual. Otherwise, it's going to, in my opinion, cause some problems.
Because you don't want to be in a relationship with a guy that's just wants to have sex around the clock, and you're like, I mean, okay. And then you feel pressure to do it, and then you're doing it because you feel pressured, and then it erupts in your face. 2 years later.
Yeah, don't feel weird, but if it is a concern for you and you want to work on it more, change whatever you're doing,
the
way you go about sex. Yeah.
Do you just relax and fucking take time to yourself and maybe watch some porn? Maybe smoke a little weed.
Yeah,
I don't know. Weed always makes me horny.
You're 27, so maybe find a friend. If you're comfortable with the fuck buddy thing, I would say find a friend who you're really comfortable with and just try some shit out.
And then, like, lay the grounds of, like, let's just try some shit out and take our time.
Yeah.
That sounds like a good plan to me.
That's it.
Okay.
Well, let's know how it goes. All right, next email. So this one doesn't have a name, I guess. I've listened to all your episodes and figured now would be the time to finally email, considering the last episode was close to home since, drum roll, please, I'm a lesbian.
Ba, 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 ba.
I've been dating my current girlfriend for 2 years and 4 months, and she's the best. Loves me more than anyone else has and actually treats me well. Now, despite this, my exes always pop into my mind, just like you guys have said, just the thought, like, hey, how's it going? It's me. And that usually leads to me speaking to them just to attempt to get them to stop them popping into my head, and that leads me to flirting. That may or not be because I'm just a generally nice person, well, or a flirty person, or because I'm an asshole to my girlfriend. I can't quite tell. I guess my question is, am I an asshole, or is it not out of the ordinary to think about your first love? Of course, I know there's a reason I'm not with them now still, and how do I stop thinking about them? And lastly, a lot of nice stuff about us, and we're awesome.
She thinks, you didn't read it. I think you're both super sexy, and I love your voices, and I think you're both hilarious.
Well, I figured.
And so if you guys ever want a lesbian experience, feel free to come to Tennessee.
My number one choice in places to have a lesbian experience. So my thoughts on this are, you're just a naturally flirtatious person, and that's okay. But you have to be careful with that, because I know I get myself into a lot of trouble with this very thing all the time, because I'm super flirty with everybody. In my last relationship with the ex heard around the world, we were both flirty, and we had discussed it at length, and we knew for the business that we were in that it would behoove us to act flirty, not over the top, but just, you know, a nice amount of flirt. And we were both cool with it. We both agreed not to put our romantic status on Facebook for like a year and a half, like a long time. And it worked out well. He was more jealous than I was, but overall, it worked out well. But you have to be careful. Like, you don't want to get to a point where you feel like you're disrespecting your girlfriend, because if you're questioning it, you probably are.
But here's my thing: a boyfriend or a girlfriend is one of the closest relationships you can have with another human being, right? And then when you break up, a lot of times, poof, it's automatically gone, and that's never going to happen again.
Right.
So going from, this is the closest I can ever be to another person, to now you're a stranger to me, I guess, that's fucking hard.
Oh,
and it's
hard
to do. So when you think about them and the stuff comes up, to me, it makes sense, because a lot of people don't keep that communication with their ex, but that's kind of a mind fuck, because were so close with them.
You were.
And you felt like something died a little bit.
Oh, yeah, something did die, but
it should have, because it did.
Yeah, it's kind of just best to let it die. I don't know. I
agree with
you. There's still weird stuff there. It's like, it's so hard, but it's almost like you just, you know, this stupid saying, you can't have your cake and eat it too. Like, you can't have everything. You can't keep all this to yourself.
Can't have your pussy and eat
it.
You
need to let go and have that person have their next person, and you need to concentrate on your person, because your relationship is going to suffer. It is. It's going to suffer.
Yeah, if you're hung up on somebody, absolutely.
And like every time you think about someone, you don't fucking need to message them. Like people think, I think about lots of people all day.
That, oh God. If I messaged everybody I thought about, I would get arrested.
I would be, number one, have no time. And number two, be such a crazy
really losing
person.
Her shit lately.
Oh boy.
So this message I fucking loved because it articulated ball busting that we talked about, getting kicked in the nuts.
Oh, right.
It articulated it so perfectly because I always understood the appeal, but I could never really articulate it. So he says, I listened to the July 3rd episode of your podcast. I work in road construction. I listen to a lot of podcasts to keep from being extremely bored and thinking about my life and self too much during the long days. Your podcast is funny and cool. Good work. Thank you for doing what you're doing. I'm writing in a particular to address a coincidence. The first episode I ever listened to on July 3rd happened to contain a short segment about ball kicking. You two seemed kind of interested, and that's my main thing, so I figured I'd write in and talk about it a little. I'm a very analytical person, and it can be hard for me to get out of my head, even when doing sex. I hear you. There's nothing I know of that forces me to live in the moment and be in my body like ball busting, which is the term for the fetish. The pain is completely dominating, and unlike a lot of other S&M activities, you can't turn it off by stopping the activity after being hit or kicked in the balls hard. You're in it for the duration. It's more than just the physical, though. The anticipation and the hesitation that comes before a hit is great as well. The body's natural flinch reflex when something is shooting towards your groin and the struggle to stay in harm's way creates such an intense rush of adrenaline and fear and excitement. There's really nothing else at all like it for me. After a hit, you lose control of the body and simply react and exist, which I enjoy. And the women I've shared the experience with also enjoy. The faces, the posture, the sounds are great. Totally instinct reaction. It creates a purely unguarded moment for where I'm just myself without any pretense. I could write pages about this topic, and I assume you guys aren't that interested. I am, actually. I'm writing this at work and don't need any of my coworkers, parentheses, currently arguing about if frogs are good trout bait, to see this junk. Love the podcast. Going to keep listening.
Well, first off, you are way more interesting than your coworkers.
You're way more interesting. And this is such a great way to put it.
Mm-hmm.
That makes total sense. Like, I got it.
Yeah.
I've never heard it articulated like that. And
yeah. I never think anything is really weird. And it's just like, if it does it for you, fucking does it for you. And I'm sure if it does it for you, it does it for at least somebody else. And just, yeah, find that person.
Yeah.
And it's really easy with the internet.
Tis.
Go on your journey. All right, last letter. Hey, it's Morgan. I've written you before, but this is a serious issue. I met this guy. He's 19, and I was attracted to him because he was, like, distant and mysterious. Oh, boy, I've been there, girl.
Mm-hmm.
I tried to just fuck
him.
But he was too distant and mysterious, and the harder he was to get, the more I wanted it.
Warning.
So I ended spending a lot of time with this guy. Ended up. Okay. And then I kind of started to like him, but he remains unfuckable. Turns out he's from Kentucky.
Warning, just kidding. But attended
college where I live, and he went home and was texting me, and it was cute and fun, and I was starting to think maybe I kind of liked him. And then he told me he loved me, and I said, "Aw, thanks," because I was freaked out by it, but wanting to stay polite. Oh, been there.
Warning.
Then he proceeded to say he was in love with me, so I told him I wasn't sure I loved him, and he said, "You're worth the wait. That's why I'm going to lose my virginity to you."
Warning.
Oof, I don't have anything against virgins, but the whole "I love you so much, my cock will be yours and only yours," he said that, is really scary. I kind of like that.
Yeah, but
oh,
this situation's
man.
A little intense.
So I was blunt. I was like, "I don't love you. I don't want your virginity. You just intrigued me, and that's why I started talking to you." A man is not going to take that well, honey. And he
girl.
And he didn't even get mad. He got creepy and you don't say. And said stuff like, "Life is worthless without you." Jesus. I'm stopping right here. If anyone ever says that to you, they have a problem.
They need to work on themselves.
You are not the problem. You cannot stay with someone because they say they're going to kill themselves. They need help, and the help is not you. That I cannot fucking say that enough. Okay, moving on. And I didn't think much of it all. I thought that, yay, it's finally over. He called me when he got back from Kentucky. He asked me if we could just hang out because he wanted to be friends, and he told me that he had a girlfriend, even, so I agreed. I went to his college dorm room, and he was sitting on his bed like a rag doll, and he said, meet my girlfriend. It was super creepy, and I tried to leave. Holy shit!
Yeah, that's fucking... That's...
I couldn't write a horror movie this good.
Yeah, I'm actually scared.
Can we option this? And he convinced me he was only joking, so I stayed. And then got back on the I love you train. I blew up and I was like, I don't love you. You're creepy. I took his phone.
And you're that, I don't know.
There's some typos here. And asked to have my own number, maybe. Then he pulled out a pocket knife and stabbed himself in the wrist with it. Obviously, I called 911 and stuff was okay. But now I feel like I have to love him or he's going to kill himself and I want to know how to get out. Dude, this is not your problem.
Not
your problem, Morgan. This person
needs being manipulative.
This person needs professional help.
Yes, they do.
And really badly.
I think she goes on to say something about it.
He doesn't even have to go to a psych ward or anything. They're just going to let him back into the world. Okay, well, number one.
He needs professional help.
There's a huge problem with mental health care in the United States, which is a thing that I love that they're dealing with on Orange is the New Black, if you watch that show. Furthermore, what you should do is cut all ties with this person. Or, I mean, if you want to, like, put him in touch with some sort of
I will put him in touch with somebody.
Yeah, but, I mean, that's not your job, okay?
No,
If you know his mother, I would contact his parents. He's still not, you know, he's 19. But, you know, that's still young enough that your parents can be involved in your life. You don't love him, so you shouldn't tell him you love him.
Don't feel obligated.
But you got to cut the contact. This is not going to go anywhere good. He needs help, and you need to protect yourself because the first step was him trying to kill himself, and I don't want to scare you, but the next step is him trying to kill you.
I have a friend who had an ex-boyfriend who did basically the exact same thing.
Yeah.
And it seemed, because I knew the situation years leading up before that.
Right.
And it seemed like he was grasping for straws because he's a very manipulative guy. And his last resort, because there was nothing that he could say to keep him to keep her from staying, was to whip out a knife and start stabbing himself in the stomach.
Yeah.
Not fucking okay.
This is not okay.
This is a tactic. This person is not stable. You need to, first of all, get out of harm's way and get away from that person.
Yeah, yourself, your own safety is important. Most important.
Yes, and I really would suggest contacting a family member first.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And make sure your family members know what's going on.
Yeah, yeah.
This is not something you can deal with alone. Seriously, not to alarm you, but this is really, really serious. But you're not doing anything wrong. You don't love him. You don't need to say that you love him. And this is 100% on him. And you need to just cut contact because anything you're going to say, you are going to say is going to escalate the problem, I think, more.
Nothing you could say is going to make this any better. You need help.
And this is, and furthermore, to anyone out there dealing with the same situation, get professional help.
Yeah.
Get out of the harm's way. If you've ever watched a true crime show, like 99% of that is love murders. So,
really?
Yeah, of course. And and also, if anyone has ever said to somebody else, if you leave me, I'm going to kill myself.
It's manipulative. That's all it is.
It's not a good thing
to say. It's a tactic.
Yeah.
They're grasping for
straws. I'm trying to think. I think, did I?
I've never experienced that.
I don't think, I feel like I have felt, if not voiced, like I didn't want to live because I was so heartbroken, but I've never like said I'm gonna kill myself.
Like, you ever used it as a tactic to get that person to stay?
Not
because
as
that's what this is.
No, not as I've never used it as a tactic. I don't remember.
I've said some stupid shit to keep guys.
Yeah, I've never said it as a tactic. I feel like I've said it as
tried
because my own body couldn't process the feelings I was feeling and they hurt so much that I like couldn't deal with them anymore. Yeah, because I've never wanted to kill myself, but I have wanted to die. And I think those are two very separate things. And I would never, at this point in my life, I would never kill myself. I wouldn't. I don't know.
We're doing really well.
We never know how things are going to go. But sure, sometimes you just want to die because fucking life gets really hard.
Life hurts.
But don't.
Don't do it.
On that note,
let's bring on our guest.
Oh, boy. Our guest this week is someone awesome. I used to work with this person at the spa. His name is Tristan. He is currently transitioning from a female to a male.
Cool.
Still has a vagina, but definitely identifies as a man. Obviously, Tristan was not his birth name.
How funny would that be if he happened to be someone who
with a boy name
felt like they're born in a different body and like I you name me Dave, Ma, and
And I think this is a really interesting way to go, because we did lesbian last week, and I think transgender people are people who are so severely misunderstood
and misrepresented, underrepresented.
Yeah, and it's like I
have questions.
We have so many questions.
I don't know a lot of shit.
I'm really excited to talk and see what this whole process is like. And he's a wonderful person on top of that.
Let's bring him on.
Thanks. Come on, baby, can you bleed like me? Chris is all dressed up and acting coy. Painted like a brand new Christmas toy. He's trying to figure out if he's a girl or he's a boy. And he says, hey, baby, can you bleed like me? Oh, come on, baby, can you bleed like me? And we are here with Tristan.
What up?
Hey, Tristan.
Hello, hello.
How you doing?
Love. Oh, that fucking middle nose ring. I love those.
Is that
I've always wanted one. I don't know. What's
it called? You should get one. Septum piercing.
Oh, the septum piercing you got?
Yeah, you should get one.
Always wanted one. I won't.
Did you cry when you got it? Because I feel like that's a very sensitive area.
You cry because you're pretty much like upside down. And
you cry because you're losing your youth.
Oh, no, you're upside down for that, yeah. The septum piercing.
Really? Mm-hmm.
Interesting. Yeah.
It's a little weird. I don't know.
Huh.
Maybe it was just those two times that I've gotten it done.
Well, because all the blood's rushing to your head. How long can you possibly stay upside down?
Exactly. It was just maybe
a while.
10 seconds, yeah.
Oh, what are you like on the piercing bed?
Yeah, you're just laying down. Yeah.
Wow.
Did it ever get infected?
Yes.
Do you change it a lot?
No. I should change
yeah,
it.
Yeah, it's hard.
So
it is
I
hard.
Could ask you questions about your septum piercing all day, but
I
really want to know.
I was gonna say,
right?
Your transition from female to male.
We tricked you. This is actually a whole hour about septum piercing.
Oh my goodness!
This is a septum piercing podcast. Just kidding.
I got a nose ring, and I was like really inspired. So,
so I would love to start from the beginning of whether it was when you were born, whether you were 5 or you were 12. You were born a woman.
Yes.
And when did you feel out of like this wasn't the body for
and your
you.
Name was Tatiana.
Yes, Tatiana.
Oh. I just want to tell everybody that.
So sexy.
Tatiana.
Yo, Tristan, Tatiana. I don't know how you'd like to say it. Like
Tatiana.
Tristan was Tatiana.
Oh, sexy.
And this is I'm Tatiana. So jealous of Tristan because good looking as a woman, good looking as a man.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you.
Very
thank
few
you.
People you can say that about.
Similar to Bruno Mars.
Oh my goodness.
You do.
Not again.
But no. You do.
Do
no,
I?
You're sexy.
In a good way. I've told you this
you
before.
You know, I got stopped in Chinatown by a bunch of Chinese people, and then they told me, oh, like, are you Bruno Mars? I was like, yeah, yeah, definitely.
Yeah, that's racist as fuck, Chinese people. What the fuck?
Yeah, and I was like, are you serious? Come on. And
you should have been like, yeah, no pictures, please.
No.
Oh, wait,
no,
Bruno,
but I took pictures
Bruno.
With them.
That's totally what I would have done.
Wait, did they really think you were Bruno Mars?
No, I'm serious. Like, I went, and then they took pictures, and I took pictures. Of them. I'm probably on a calendar or something down there.
Oh, melt that
in
fame
Chinatown,
up. They're selling it for $25.
Of course, I should get something, you know?
I would be so happy. If I find that calendar, I'm going to buy 20 copies.
Go ahead. Please, please.
One time, someone thought I was Miley Cyrus and did the same thing back when
you
kind of
do look
yeah,
like
and I sound like her.
She
blah,
does.
Blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And someone asked to take a picture, and I was like, okay, just one.
Oh, okay.
I'm gonna eat that shit up.
You guys have good celebrities. The only person someone ever thought I was a member of the Pussycat Dolls.
Which one?
And I don't even know which
Nicole
one.
Nicole Schlesinger?
The one I get the
Schlong?
The celebrity I get the most is Sarah Michelle Gellar. But
oh, that's right. That's right.
Like is that the white one?
Like a fat one.
No, that's not the one.
So okay.
She's very small though.
On to the topic.
Yes.
When? So you're born, right?
Yes, I was born.
Mm-hmm. Okay. When did you feel out like your body was it? Or was that the feeling of?
Yeah,
no,
what is
my
the
right
feeling
body?
Like?
What does it feel
What's
like?
What's the feeling?
All right. Well, I was very confused. First grade, I already knew I liked girls. I had a little girlfriend my mom told me. And then I always knew I felt out of place. I was very tomboyish, but I still was like, this is not enough. Like, I would steal my dad's clothing because I could fit in them. And then second grade was when I saw a documentary on the television, actually. And they were discussing about sexual changing their gender. Mm-hmm. And I was like, wow, this actually happens and other people are like this. So I think this is what I am.
So you're like, these are my people.
So exactly. Second grade. That's amazing.
Second grade.
Yeah. Well, because I feel like sexual instincts pop into kids.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
When
oh,
they're
definitely.
Nine. I started masturbating when I was 9.
What?
Yeah.
I'm sure I probably did the same thing.
I didn't masturbate, but I was like definitely like noticed boys very early. And I was like, I knew
at a very young age. I was like, I can't wait to be old enough to it's socially acceptable that I could date like a 35-year-old man.
Oh, wow. Because
I just loved like older guys.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you felt, you saw this documentary and you were like, oh, yes, thank you.
Yeah. Cool. I was like, this is the answer.
So
like,
did you communicate that to anybody?
I told my cousin. When I, first grade, I told her that I liked girls. And then I told her the next day, I was like, no, you know what? Never mind. That's not true.
So you're in first grade. How was your cousin at the time?
She is the same age as me. So we grew up together. Like, she's
now,
my best friend.
How does another first grader respond to someone saying that?
But kids honestly, she took it easily. She was like, oh, okay, whatever.
Because kids are so, they're not tainted by the shittiness of society.
They're not tainted, but I feel like weird.
Nowadays, I would think, I would disagree with that.
Really?
Yeah, because a lot of kids, they're, you know, well, they can get access to anything and understand.
City kids especially.
They're so vulgar. Like, what's going on?
Yeah.
Pressing me off, and I'm like, you're like five. Like, yeah. Ew. I feel so offended.
Why did a four-year-old make me cry the other day?
Exactly.
Oh, yeah, well, that's not.
I couldn't even say stupid until I was like 12.
But you learn to be mean.
Yeah.
I feel like that. Like, yeah, you learn to make fun. You see somebody else making fun of it, and you see how
you
badass they
it.
Feel. And,
yeah.
And then you mimic it. Yeah. But, okay, so your Kyle, what did your cousin?
She was completely fine with it. And then the next day.
We need to get you a dick. Just kidding.
Oh, no. She was just like, okay, if that's how you feel, if you're happy, then that's okay. And I'm like, all right. And then second grade, when I told her that, I was like, you know what? I think I should be a boy.
Uh-huh.
And I think I'm supposed to be born a boy. And then she was just like, I don't understand that, but like the same thing, thinking I was a lesbian, I guess.
Yeah, that's
we didn't even know what the word was. I still didn't even know what the word was.
But the feeling, you knew.
Yeah.
That's why.
Because it is a feeling, That's such an advanced thought for a second grader to have to say, I feel like I should be a boy. That's impressive
to me. But
you're
in touch with yourself and you're expressive of that, which is important.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and then she was completely with it, and then like I said, the next day I was just in denial because I'm like, everybody around me is not trying to be the opposite of what they are.
Right.
I should be, my mom's dressing me up in a dress, why am I not in slacks?
Right. Because
fitting in is one of the main goals you're in grade school. Jesus Christ,
it was
all anybody gives a shit about
growing up.
When you don't have bills to pay and jobs to worry about, you just really care about some stupid shit when you're a kid.
Well, like, yeah, so it's like, so what I think you care about the very basic things when you're a kid, though, that kind of do matter more a little bit. So it's like your initial instinct was so spot on, and then it's like it got clouded by this mess of society immediately.
Yeah, definitely.
Oh, that sucks.
Yeah, I came out as trans. I kept it in until my freshman year in college.
Okay.
Because I was able finally to just let go and be myself.
That's wonderful.
Yeah.
And now, backstory, you're from New Jersey,
yes,
right?
Yes, New Jersey. That's
so,
what's up.
Right, as am I. Jersey. So that's just a little, and it's, so that's not a terribly suffocating place to grow up. I mean, forward thinking and stuff, I know New Jersey has a bad rep, but we're honestly, you know, we're right next to the
people
city.
Just makes fun of it because
it
smells.
You know, it's
it.
Not the middle of the country where people
smell.
Are going crazy.
Smell.
Everywhere smells a little bit.
Is someone or is that New Jersey? That's what I always say.
Well, I mean, like, New York smells much worse than New Jersey.
No.
Well, not where I live doesn't smell. But anyway, so there's this gap. So you know what's going on first grade, second grade. Then nothing happens until freshman year of college.
Yeah.
What's that whole in between? That's a long time.
Did you have a sexual experience before college?
Yes, of course.
With women?
I was never with a man.
Okay.
I never was attracted to men. Actually, no. Who's to say? I don't like labels.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'm going to marry a man in the future. Who
I always
knows?
Say that, yeah.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. If it's meant to be, then it's meant to be.
Right.
But I'm not physically attracted now to men. Never was. I grew up saying that I was lesbian. So I came out actually twice in my life. So,
once as a lesbian.
Yeah. So my freshman year in high school. Oh, and that's another story. That was horrible. But
coming out as a lesbian?
Yeah.
Wow. Tell us your coming out story.
Okay. Are you ready for this?
We're ready.
I'm ready. Right. Hit me.
Well, let's see. I went to an all-girls school.
Ooh, okay.
Yeah. So
plenty
you
of pussy
know.
There.
Yep. No. I was the only lesbian there. So, let's see. I was a freshman, and I started talking to this junior who was straight and actually had a boyfriend.
Mm-hmm.
I always have those types of people, I guess, like I start off with. And she was one of the popular kids, and noticed that this school was actually 102 students all together.
Oh, Jesus.
So my class was only probably
everybody
like
knows
35.
Everybody.
Yes. In one period, you know, the whole entire school knows everything about your business. So long story short, we had a relationship. It wasn't anything serious.
With this girl who had a boyfriend.
Yes.
Okay. So she was cheating on her boyfriend with you. Interesting.
What a skank. Like, what is this? Now that I know. What
is a Florida person. Oh, my goodness. And not a completely honest person.
Yeah. But
that's all.
At the same time, I was never comfortable with anything, like with my body. So we never were really physical with each other.
Right.
It was just more of the emotional side of it.
Yeah, yeah.
So she never really cheated, I guess just verbally. And
did you physically?
We never did anything.
Oh.
I was just that.
So it was emotional cheating. Yeah. Okay.
Did you ever kiss?
No, honestly.
Really?
No.
Interesting.
So, it was because, so you would still classify that as cheating.
But that's what's drawing, looking back at my past and seeing how uncomfortable I was for letting people like touch me physically was because I was not comfortable with my body.
Well,
now understanding that now.
Yeah, that's like so if I all of a sudden had a dick and I'd be like, what is, well,
yeah.
I feel like I would be very comfortable with a dick actually.
But for an orgasm, orgasm is in the, a lot of it's in the mind.
Oh,
and
yeah.
And you need to feel
of course
comfortable with yourself and you need to feel sexy and you need to feel whatever to climax.
Yeah.
So if you don't feel that, like if you're in a body that you're like, this isn't right, how can you, did you masturbate?
No, I didn't even touch myself. I was just
really?
So scared. I was just like, I don't know what this is. I don't know how to work it. Like I was just.
Because in the first grade, you felt this feeling that was so natural to you. Like, oh, I'm just not in the right body. And then all the people and events and circumstances happen to make you think otherwise. Mm-hmm. And that's where the conflict starts. And you're like, oh, wait, maybe I'm not supposed to feel this way, but I do. That's a fucking mind fuck.
To get off pretty much was to please other people. So I was used to that for many years, all high school and until I got to actually my sophomore year in college was when I finally was like, you know what? I'm comfortable with myself. And I was able to, you know,
have an
orgasm. Yeah.
And how old are you now? Remind me.
I am 21.
Oh, you're only 21. Because I was
Thank
like, I thought
God.
You were like 22, 20. Okay. So you're 21.
You could say I'm 22. It's okay.
Well, you're 21.
I'm 21.
Okay. All right. So that's.
And then when did you come out as trans?
And is that okay to say?
Trans?
I heard trans wasn't okay to say.
No, tranny is not okay to say.
No, but I heard that trans wasn't okay to say either.
I don't
trans
know,
is now,
honestly.
This is okay.
But no, because my best friend Tommy works at an institute that deals with all this kind of stuff, and there's like a whole fucking list of shit that you can't say.
I thought it was tranny.
No, tranny you definitely can't say.
This whole RuPaul thing, but she had a segment about, you know, it was tranny wasn't part of the name of the segment, and everyone accepted it for all this, and they're like, yeah. And then Tristan Cheramina, what the fuck is... No, not Tristan Cheramina. No. The fucking fashion designer, Christian, whatever. I don't know. But he his like catchphrase, Amy Poehler played him on Saturday Night Live. He was like, hey, tranny, what's up, tranny? What up, tranny?
Right.
And if tranny wasn't the buzzword that it is like currently, that wouldn't happen on network television. I mean, you know, SNL's edgy, but not that edgy. So I feel like the rules are always changing.
I have no
about
idea. I took a transgender class in college just to understand my lifestyle.
Understand who I am.
I got an A, though. I didn't
you're
do
good,
anything.
Good, I hope so.
I was like, I better get an A. I am
trans.
The subject.
I am what you're studying,
you guys
assholes.
Ask me the questions anyways in class.
Right,
no, trust me, I don't understand. To all the transgender people out there, just forget about it. Let loose. There's no need to, you know, label everything.
Oh, yeah.
Because literally, it's a list. It's like a book full of...
One day you can't say this, one day you can say that.
Yeah, and I'm like, just be who you are.
And I feel like being so precious about every word, it makes people not like certain groups of people. Like, just say whatever.
And it's hard to understand for outsiders, like people who don't really understand transitioning and all that concept of it. And then to just keep adding all these different words and then to explain in detail. I'm like,
but
just say that you're living and that's it.
Yeah, the thing is, if people don't understand the trans thing, it's okay. It's not the you had trouble understanding it at first.
Yeah,
like,
I
it's
don't
okay
understand.
If you don't understand it.
No,
and
who
people
really
are
freaked understands
out.
Themselves?
I don't.
Yeah.
But like people get so freaked out about things that make them uncomfortable that they can't understand, which is why I feel like there's a lot of hatred towards the trans community.
Oh, I always
over any
in my mind the transgender community is like the X-Men, completely misunderstood.
Oh, I love the X-Men. So
yeah,
that's okay.
Well, that's why I love the X-Men because the whole story of the X-Men is that, you know, there are a bunch of misunderstood mutants for anyone who hasn't.
Yeah,
doesn't know
that's exactly how we
and
are.
And that is how I feel, and that's why I love the X-Men. That was always my favorite thing because I always felt misunderstood, and I was just like, oh, I'm special, and people just don't get me. That's,
people don't get it.
That's
yet.
How
that's
majority
why
of those. Those people, excuse me.
Those people.
Of us.
That
see,
I
it's
am
because
trans.
We shouldn't be, we're normal people.
Yeah, you're living.
Because when Corinne knows that I'm just so open.
Yeah.
And it's just because I need to educate people.
Yes, you do.
And
you
if it's not going to be me, somebody else has to do it. But I know nobody else is going to do it because transgender people are so scared to just be themselves. So then I feel like society makes them, or they think that they have to put a label to everything.
Right.
So they can understand. Like, that's how I grew up too. I was like, okay, well, I like girls and I'm confused with what's going on with my body and everything. So I'm just going to say I'm lesbian.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I could have just grown up and said I was a straight man, but as a girl growing up, and everybody's going to look at me like, the hell are you talking about? You have a vagina and breast and you don't look like it.
Who gives a shit? What do you mean? Exactly. What am I talking about? I'm fucking, this is what I think. So go fuck yourself.
Mm-hmm. Of course.
It's right, not right now, easier said than done.
Right now, I'll wear a dress. I don't care. Put makeup on me. I have men who are gay men and who are my friends, and they put wigs on, you know, do drag when we go out, and then they need to get their wig like combed out, so they're not gonna do it on their own head. I'm like, oh, put it on me. I miss my long hair anyways.
Right. Yeah.
So I'm like, do it. And I'm like, you want to practice your makeup? Like, I'll do it. Like, but I know I like women, and I'm not the manliest of men. Like, I'll go get my nails done with you. Like, it doesn't matter to me.
You're a person.
Yeah, exactly.
And you like what you fucking
but
like.
With trans men, and I can understand now, because when I first started transitioning, I thought I had to be the stereotypical man. Like, I was very macho, going to the gym while trying. And
I remember that,
And I was like, oh, yeah, I'm going to sound like this. And,
clench my crotch and watch football.
Yeah, I'm like, let me hang out with some guys. And I'm like, oh, they're so annoying. Like, they're just like girls, but even worse. Like, complaining nonstop. Yeah, I'm like, just the hell with everybody. Like, I don't care. I don't like that lifestyle. That's what I feel like transgendered people feel like they need to fit a certain lifestyle.
Yeah.
And that's not fair.
Yeah.
Like, I know I'm in between both genders, and I understand that completely now, and I love it. I'm embracing it. And at the end of the day, I'm going to say I'm a trans man.
Yeah.
And another thing is with transgender people that I see a lot is that they don't like to discuss their past. They kind of forget about it.
Mm-hmm.
With me, when I first started transitioning, looking at a picture of Tati, I would just be like, I don't even know who that is.
Mm.
And I'm like, once I got that first T shot in me, that was the reborn.
That's the hormones.
Yes.
Yeah, hormones.
Yes. Oh, testosterone.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So once then, I was like, oh, you know what? This is me now. My life as Tatiana is done. Mm-hmm. I don't know who that person is, and it was so sad.
Yeah, because you don't have to lose that. That person helped you get to where you are
now. Yeah, it's like you should think of it more as an evolution,
beautiful part.
People who are trans, they fail to see that and think
they're
that
bitter.
Way.
Maybe they're bitter against that. Like, why was I born this way?
I don't know who that person is. Like, I've taken that transgender class. It opened my eyes to a lot of other people because I don't really have transgender friends.
Okay,
I don't know anybody.
It's a rarity. Yeah,
it is.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure that I have a friend, and I just don't know it.
I feel like that too. Yeah. I feel like I've definitely
People look at me sometimes. They're like, "Oh, who's that gay boy?" And I'm like, I don't know who you're talking about. But
I don't know where.
But I'm like, at least you call me a boy. So
See, I feel like if I met you now, I would think you just look very young, but you don't. You look like, I would think
you're I'm either a gay boy or like a 12-year-old boy.
I would think you were just like a young hipster.
Like an artsy hipster.
Oh, okay. I like that.
That's what
I was going for.
That's my first thought of you when you first came into Sanlam, New York.
Look gay, quote unquote. Like, I don't think so.
You see, and that's another thing. Why do I have to look gay?
Right. No, I'm saying you don't.
No, but that's what people say.
People think
you should look
for me when I think of someone.
Let me look how I look.
Transgender, I would think you would look more like a man, whereas gay men sometimes try to look more feminine. I don't know. There's a lot going on.
I think it's just because I have a young face.
You have a baby face.
I need to get that scruff.
So how is coming out as trans, and who did you tell, and goodness, how did they react?
Okay, let's see. Well, I told my cousin.
Mm-hmm.
Well, she already knew since second grade. You already know.
Yeah. Right.
And I was like, hey, you remember what I told you in second grade? She's like, yeah. And I was like, well, that's true. And she's like, well, I already knew. I was just waiting for you to come out and say it. And I was like, all right, well, that's done. That's one. And then
one down.
Yep. And when I came out, it was because I was going through a really rough time in school, and everything was just breaking down. And I was like, you know what? I need to live my life for me. I'm tired of living a lie just to please everybody.
Yeah.
So that was February, actually. So I actually told my older sister. I texted. I was like, listen, I need to tell you something tomorrow. I didn't tell her anything. And obviously, if you get a text saying like, oh, I need to tell you something very important, I'm going to tell you tomorrow, you're going to want to say, well, let's talk
tell
right
me
now.
Did she think you were gay? Was she like,
everybody knew I was lesbian. Okay, I already had a girlfriend, like long-term girlfriend. Yeah, I was the gay one in the family, the lesbian. And so she thought I was either pregnant, but she's like, no, that doesn't make any sense. Yeah. And then she's like, or maybe he dropped out of school or he failed school, like thinking of the worst. And then she said to me, she thought for 1 second, like, oh, maybe he's going to turn into a guy. And then she was like, ah, no, that's not it. That's not it.
Yeah.
And then I started actually crying. I told her in Port Authority at like some pizza spot.
Oh, God. Yeah, the worst place.
Yeah, we were going to Jersey because I was actually going to tell my mom that night. And it was just like the middle of the night because I took forever. I was like, oh, I don't know. I don't want to tell her. I'm scared.
Your family's acceptance is a lot. Like, it is. That can be devastating when it gets taken away.
But at that point, I was like, you know what? The hell with it. If she doesn't agree with it, and nobody agrees with it, I'm just literally just telling them. I'm not asking them.
Yeah.
Because when I came out,
you don't need to ask them for
anything. Yeah, it's not. I'm old enough, and nobody even has to ask when it comes to that point. But yeah, I told her, and she was okay. I started crying because I was freaking out. I didn't know what she was going to think.
And also, you just had a huge weight was lifted.
Oh yeah, that too.
I feel relieved for you.
Oh yeah. It was.
You can start living.
Amazing.
Yeah.
But yeah, she was fine. She's like, all right, let's go tell mom. So we go. And at this point, it's already 11 o'clock. And I already told my mom. I'm like, listen, I have something to tell you.
I got some shit to
lay on
you.
And then with her, forget about it. She was just like, mm-mm, tell me right now. What is going on? And I was like, oh my God, here we go. Right? I'm like, I'm coming home. Just don't worry. She's like half asleep. I wrote something down because I'm like, I have a speech ready. And I still had the speech too.
Really?
Yeah, that's a big moment in my
life. Absolutely.
Yeah, I have everything from that day.
Because you can start living once you're being honest.
Well, I told her, I read my speech, and she just looked at me like, well, here we go again. And she was not accepting of it at first. She called me selfish. She told me to pretty much transition when I was like 35. And done with college and have a career.
Wow,
and I was
who's selfish? Wow, exactly. Who really is selfish,
right?
Ma?
I'm sorry, Mom. I love you.
But it's
no, I know.
Can't be easy for a parent.
At that time, she understands that I was mad at her.
Yeah. Right.
But, and then I got kicked out of my house. And everything was just a mess. It was just horrible. And then the next day...
Did you have a feeling she was going to react that way? Or you just really had no idea?
Honestly, I didn't even know.
Okay.
I was just so like... Let me just do it.
It's a huge, very common, unfortunate reaction, though, getting kicked out of one's house for the gay, transgender, lesbian community. And that's why like things like the Aliforni Center exist, because there's so many gay and transgender homeless youth because they don't understand. And I it's so funny because like really, like I love my family to death, but I really don't care what they like. If they didn't like me, I'd be like, peace. Like,
that is wonderful.
Oh, in a fucking second.
That's what I was like.
So, yeah. And I highly recommend anyone else do the same.
Well, in the end, it always feels better to be true to yourself.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, anything else in the world.
You have to live with yourself every day.
Yeah. I told her, I was like, listen, Mom, I'm not asking you and I'm telling you, but if you don't stand by me, then that's that. Like, I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm like, you're a great mom and whatnot. I love you, but if this is the last time I'm going to have a conversation with you, then so be it. I need to live my life.
Yeah.
And I'm tired of living a life for you. And so she did not take that lightly. At that time I had midterms or no finals.
Oh,
she would call me every single day, just yelling at me and not a good time.
Yeah.
And
I wonder if some of that though stemmed her reaction. I don't know, but stemmed out of fear about her child living a life and her child potentially being abused or being called, like just made fun of her.
She was scared. Once we had a talk and sat down and she explained everything
of
how she felt, I could understand because I told her after, I was like, listen, I know this is going to be hard. I'll educate you with it. Like, you can come with me to get the shots done. You can see where I'm getting everything. And so you're just, you know, well aware of what's going on because I don't even know what's going on.
Right.
Yeah.
This is just all
new. You just know that this is
natural
to you.
And I'm just telling you because it's going to happen. Not right now. Maybe next week. I said in February, I ended up transitioning in August. Like, it took a long time for me to do it.
I mean, that's pretty quick, though, when you think about it. Because
it is quick.
The difference between, you know, being a lesbian or gay and being transgender is that you're not just gonna the same gender. Your body is going through a physical transition, so it's like emotional and physical. There's so much stuff, and like it could be potentially dangerous.
Oh yeah, it is
to
dangerous.
You. Yeah, because I know. I mean, it was kind of so interesting to see you come into work every week and just see you morphing.
Yeah,
almost like it
so
was
what
fascinating.
Changed? What changed about Tristan?
Deeper voice. The breasts were going away. Mm-hmm. More muscular.
I'm a little skinnier now.
His voice changed.
Yeah.
You still have a vagina though, right?
Yeah.
Did anything happen to your vagina? Like,
yes.
Did your clit change?
Yes.
What
the clitoris
happened?
Enlarges. So okay. You get like a mini penis yeah. if you want to call it.
Is it, that's what it looks like or?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because when you're born, when you're being made in the stomach, everybody has
forming.
A clit. Yes, thank you for me.
I don't know.
So everybody has a clit. So men have, then it just gets enlarged.
Yeah,
into
it either
a penis.
Goes into a penis or stays a penis.
Yeah,
okay,
exactly.
I didn't know that.
So that's why when you take testosterone, it just enlarges.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it doesn't get humongous, but.
Do you still get clitoral orgasms?
Oh, yeah, of course.
Oh, are they better? Because now it's bigger?
I mean, like I said.
I would think they would be.
Once I transitioned, it was when I actually had an orgasm.
Yeah, so
I don't even know how
You've
it was.
Never, as like a full woman,
yeah,
had an orgasm.
I would psych myself out and be like, no, don't do it. Don't think
right.
about it. Like, think about something else. And
right.
Because I was just never comfortable.
Yeah.
So now I'm like, the hell with it. Come down on me. Let's go.
And now it's great. So do you feel comfortable having like this kind of like evolved vagina? Like, do you, or because I know at one point you were like, did want to get the change to the penis.
Actually, I don't want it.
You don't want to anymore?
Okay.
No.
So that's just no. Because I know, because you, so you've kind of like.
In the beginning, like I
right.
said, remember how I mentioned how the stereotypical like, oh, I need to be a
be
full
macho.
Man, like cis
right.
man. So
you're just you're
that was
content
a fake desire kind of. You were like, I should want to be this, but
yeah.
then you realize, nah.
I'm like,
really
I
wanna.
Need all the parts. I need this. I need that. Like, mm-hmm. no.
Do
now
you,
I don't want
are you continuing to get more testosterone shots?
I stopped temporarily, but
uh-huh.
I'm going back on hopefully this month, maybe
okay.
next week.
Uh-huh.
Why did you stop?
Okay, well, you already know. I get really angry, and then with that, I just. With testosterone, obviously, you know how men are. They
it's
say
a lot
that stereotypical, like, oh, you
on.
Get really angry. Like,
yeah,
no,
really
no joke.
Do.
Like,
yeah.
you
I
get
mean, I take birth control, and the birth control is their
yeah,
hormones.
If you
and
add
I
hormones,
get fucking insane.
Of course,
like,
yeah. Oh,
really?
I was just going crazy.
I'm,
my
yeah.
nicknames were, you're fine? Oh, crazy.
Well,
some
I'm on birth control,
different.
Too, but I'm fine on it. I mean, I'm just, you know, mental normal.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You
haven't tried to kill people. Good for you.
You
yeah.
tried to kill people?
No, but, like, you just get so fucking angry.
Oh.
And it's illogical, and you know it's illogical, but it's
well,
sucks.
Like I said before, I just kind of hover in an always mm-hmm. angry zone. I don't, like, get bursts of anger.
Right.
No, with me, it was just any little thing. If like my shoe was untied and I slightly tripped over it, oh, the Hulk would come out. My
really?
Friends nicknamed me like the Hulk.
Shit.
That's
and
scary.
And then when I was drinking, I'll forget about it.
Oh, shit.
I will black out, but not a bad like drunk blackout, unless I was really drunk, obviously. But I would just smash things.
Anger.
I would wake up with my hand swollen. I think
oh,
I came in one
shit.
Time with my hand swollen
yeah. well,
into
you,
work.
I'm never surprised at the employees at the spa, how they come in.
So yeah,
then
yeah
that,
you're right.
That prompted you to take a break.
Oh, yeah.
Now, when you take a break from getting hormone injections, the hormones that you have up until that point that were been injected, they're still in your body? Or the more you get injected,
okay.
the more testosterone?
So if you're on it for, like, say, you know, a year and up, then whatever changes you have, they'll stay permanent in a sense. Like,
okay.
They won't fall back. Like with me, I was on it, I'll say like 9 months or 10.
Okay.
So not quite there, but like I was not consistent. Like, you know, I was in the hospital for a brief time, so I wasn't on it
right.
that time. So maybe 7 months, I would say true 7 months.
Mm-hmm.
And so my changes, like you know, I was a lot different than what I look now. Like I'm very
yeah.
skinny. And so, yeah, your estrogen comes in, like your normal estrogen
right.
cycle comes in and I guess like wipes out the testosterone slowly. So, yeah, my body is kind of weird seeing how my body's changing.
Fascinating. Yeah, it's just it's fascinating and so kind of exciting.
I was
going
to say, were you excited?
Every day?
Yeah.
It was kind of weird. At first, I was just like,
I'd be so amped.
And then I was afraid to even talk in the morning, like, to somebody
see.
Or, like,
yeah.
to even
your
hear
voice
my
different.
Yeah, because I'd be like, hi. And then the next day, hi. And then the next day, hi. And I'm like, oh my God.
In an excited, like a giddy way, like a, oh yeah.
No, like a, what the hell is going it's on?
Your body's changing.
Yeah, I'm like, this stuff is working. And then even if I had some facial hair, I'm like, damn, I gotta shave now. I'm like, I have to talk to my guy friend. How do I shave my face? Yeah.
And you have a girlfriend, right? Or
I don't know.
You have a lady that you're seeing.
So you were dating a girl.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And how is that when you met her?
And she's hot too.
We had a listener write in that was trans and same from woman to man. Mm-hmm. And he was like, when do I tell the girls that I'm like, ta-da, I have a pussy?
Oh, you should tell them right away.
That's what our advice was, but I don't know. Like, I want to hear it coming from you.
Like,
right, that's what our advice was.
I mean, that's like saying, hey, I'm a... let me not say that. I was about to say, hey, I'm a serial killer, but that's a little too much.
Thank you so much for telling me. I'm going to go.
No,
and
but that's
something you have a good day.
For all the serial killers listening up, please keep that on the
keep that
DL.
To yourself, please.
Or, you know, just be nice about it. And
until a knife is going
right, move, that's a little bit too much.
Get out the way, because I'm a serial killer. So when you first... What was the experience like first telling... a girl that you dated, any girl, whatever girls you've dated.
Let's see. Well, all of them knew. So the one that when I was starting to transition, she knew when I was a girl and transitioning to a boy. So that was easy.
Right.
And then in my school, after I transitioned, everybody in my school knew.
Mm-hmm.
So that was easy too. Cause I'm like, I'm an open book. You should know who I am. You should know what I am. And so my girlfriend at that time, she knew.
Mm-hmm. And just the kind of person you are, I feel like you're really easy to talk to and you are so open about things and that just makes everything
just
more
makes
simple. And you're really willing because it's kind of like we're at a weird time now where whereas everyone at this point, I think, knows a gay person, not everyone knows a transgender person.
No, not at all.
And so by you being open, like it's a real service to everybody because it's kind of like I know it's like you don't want to be this like person who's like has to be like the leader and
the
forefront.
No, but I want to be that.
Yeah.
Because
it's kind of like
because
falls
you
on
help
shoulders.
People understand.
Of course,
and that's so great.
I'm trying to open things up, and especially I have an Instagram. So,
what's your Instagram?
Trissy Triss.
Trissy Triss. We'll put it on our description.
Please put it up. You can follow me.
All
you trans
and
people.
It's, because I always said, I'm like, Tristan, take pictures of your progress. This is fantastic.
Yeah,
like, you're gonna want to have this.
Of course,
it's amazing. Yeah.
I need to start making videos again. I have a YouTube video channel as well.
Oh, good.
Yeah, it's just my name, Tristan Brito.
Your last name's Burrito?
No, Brito.
Oh.
It's like B-R-I-T-O.
Wow, that's
Brito.
Lucky. Tristan Burrito. Okay.
It's okay. But with her, it was easy.
You've never
easy.
Had a difficult time.
No, it shouldn't be. Because like I said, I'm very open. And you should be open. You should be accepting of what you are.
And if the person's like, ew, then go
that's
away.
That's like
go
saying
away.
You're a lesbian and you're trying to go up to like a straight girl. Like you're... you're gonna hit on her. Well, that's actually no. Because
but if a lesbian hit on me, I'd be fucking. First of all, I'd be flattered. I would never be like.
Yeah, but you're gonna be kind of confused. It's like, is she hitting on me? And
yeah,
it's like,
right.
And then obviously you're gonna have to say something or say some kind of sign to say like, oh, I am this,
right?
And I'm interested in you, so you should understand what I'm trying to do,
right?
And with a trans person, it's a lot. Like, and then when it comes to sex, especially too, when. I was like, listen, this is how I am. And when I was about to have sex with her, I was petrified. I was like, oh my God, I don't know if this girl knows that I'm a guy or was born a woman and has have a vagina. Cause she was straight when I first started dating. Now she's a lesbian. But well, she says.
So did you tell her I kind of have?
I didn't at first.
Dick
you see,
clip?
That's what messed me up. Because at first I was like, I don't know. But she obviously knew. Like I said, it's just my own thinking because I like her. And it's kind of hard.
Yeah.
So I understand what he or she was talking about, their guess.
Yeah.
And then, but it is hard. But at the end of the day, you have to just say it. It has to come out. Because that is your life. You can't just hide something.
Yeah, you have to be comfortable with you. Like, that's the whole, I mean, the whole kind of, like, thing about your story and about, in that works for any kind of romantic relationship is that if you're not comfortable yourself, whether it's something little, like, you know, you don't like your teeth or, like, it's something huge, like, you don't feel like you're the right gender. Like, if you're not comfortable with this, it's going to cause a problem in a relationship with somebody else.
That's the bottom line to being a human and living a good life.
Yeah.
If you, like, we had somebody write in saying she wasn't as sexual as after listening to our episodes and she felt kind of weird about it. I'm like, but if you you should be honest about your sexuality, about what color you like, about what your favorite television show is, about who you love, about what body parts you just be honest. And that's pretty much the key to living a happy, satisfying life, I think, is to be honest about yourself and what you want.
We all kind of know what we want, and the reason that we're not going in that direction is because we have all these things. We have family, we have society, we have our friends, and that just muddles everything.
And then it
becomes a cloud. But if you really sit alone in your room and you think about the things that you love and who you are as a person,
it makes you happy.
It's there. It's always there. It just gets lost.
And we're saying own it.
Yeah, of course.
Own
just
your
be yourself.
Truth. I sound like a spiritual guru, but I really want you guys to own your truth. That seriously is what it's all about.
Yeah, it is.
And it's so respectable. Like, I don't care what your deal is or what your situation is. If you're, I don't know, I can't think of something off the top of my head that I would think is weird. But if you own it, that's just, I respect that 100%.
There's so much less people can say when you've said it all.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So on that, you have any closing thoughts?
Is there anything you want to say to maybe people out there who either don't understand trans people or trans listeners? We do have trans listeners who...
You could talk to me whenever. I'm open. And
Tristan's a great person to talk to.
Fucking hit me up on whatever social network that you want.
We'll post them in the description.
Of course. But, you know, just live your life to any person. It doesn't have to be trans or...
Right.
And people are like, wow, I have so much respect for you. But I'm like, I'm just living my life.
Honest.
They're like, you're so courageous. Like, do this at such a young age. I'm like, well, you could do the same thing.
Yeah.
You're young too.
Kind of the only thing to do, to be true to yourself.
Yeah. And everybody has something that they need to be true to themselves. So just why not just do it?
Yeah. Oh, this is one of my favorite episodes.
I love this. All right. Thank you so much, Tristan.
Thank
it was
you,
great
Tristan.
To see you. And
thank you for sharing
so much with us. Guys, thank you for listening to another episode of Guys We Fucked, the Anti-Slut Shaming Podcast. You know where to catch us. We'll see you next week.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Champagne and it tastes like Coca-Cola, C-O-L-A cola. She walked up to me and she asked me to dance.